Good morning, Shasta County. It is November 5th, Sunday, November 5th. I am broadcasting live down here at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Also streaming KCNR1460.com down here in downtown Reading. It's beautiful today. It's actually, this is like my favorite time of the year in Shasta County is fall. I mean, I do like the summers when it's 120 degrees. But this time of year, I just think it's absolutely beautiful. The mornings are, it's still shorts weather. And, well, you know what? Instead of me talking about the weather, Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to have my good friend and world-renowned meteorologist, Mike Kruther from Weather NorCal. How you doing, Mike?
Good. I don't know about world-renowned. Maybe Norstate renowned.
No, I think world-renowned is better. Let's just call it what it is. There, you have followers all over the world, so it's world-renowned as far as I'm concerned. So, Mike, give us the weather for the week, but then I want to keep you on for a couple minutes and just get an update of how you're doing. So let us have it.
Yeah, so, of course, as you know, the time change, so that's kind of a big thing. That's not necessarily weather-related, but definitely a time change makes things kind of mess things up for all of us, but we're going to be looking at, this is what I like to call, and what we've really been experiencing in the last several days, is a cool and unsettled weather pattern. Now, essentially what that means is, when you have cold air in place and unstable air in place, you can see scattered showers. But the problem with these types of systems, at least from a forecasting standpoint, is it's really, quite honestly, unpredictable to know exactly who's going to see what and how much. And so today, is it going to be a standard cool and unsettled weather pattern? A mix of sun, some clouds, and we're going to see some scattered showers, and it's not out of the question for an isolated thunderstorm this afternoon as well. Now, this trend will continue into Monday and possibly into Tuesday, although I think Tuesday things will start to kind of wind themselves down as we kind of go through the afternoon on Tuesday. Temperature-wise, we'll be in the 60s as we go into today and tomorrow, but I should warm up a little bit as we get toward the middle of next week. But drying out, as I mentioned, by Tuesday afternoon and staying dry for Wednesday, Thursday, with the potential for maybe a little bit more wet weather by the end of next week. But overall, I'm not anticipating much. So it's today, tomorrow that we got the best chances for rain, and then things kind of wrapping themselves up by Tuesday afternoon.
Man, Mike, that's incredible. I appreciate that. So your bride, Sandy, when she rolls over and says, hey, what's the weather, do you give her that, or you just tell her to put a jacket on?
Well, first and foremost, she rarely does ask me. She's honestly one of those people who never really paid attention or pays too much attention to the media, and not to mention weather. And so she just doesn't really bother me with that. But every once in a while, she'll be like, what's the weather going to be like today? Because it's especially if she has big plans or something. But otherwise, no, I don't give her the full details. She would walk out of the room.
You don't have like a projector screen that you just pull down in the living room and start pointing with it like a green screen?
I start drawing pictures on the wall.
And, exactly.
No,
well,
no, she doesn't get all that because I know she doesn't have the attention span for that.
Oh, man. All I can usually think of is, Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day when someone asks about the weather and he starts just, gaslighting him because he goes, were you just wanting to ask about the weather or did you really want to know? And they just kind of walk away. So Mike, give us a really quick update with how Weather NorCal is going and how people can find you. Usually I tell them, but let's give us, this is your time. So give us the plug.
Well, so essentially I decided that I did not want to continue on with the current path that I was, and that is working for local news media. It has nothing to do, and honestly, I have nothing against the local news media. I have nothing against them whatsoever. There's nothing political involved with any of what I'm doing. It's just I saw an opportunity. I saw that other people are doing what I'm doing, and I thought this is something that the West Coast and Northern California in general could use and needs, quite honestly. So I started a company called Weather NorCal. It is a free service for everyone. And essentially what I do is what everyone knows that I do and is familiar with what I do, and that is give a weather forecast every day, except, of course, now I've got weekends off, which is nice, which we'll get into in a second. But so, yes, I basically do three updates a day, morning, noon, and evening, and I have a sophisticated weather computer like you'd see at any other TV station in my in-home studio. And I record those weather segments that you can see on my website at weathernorcal.com. I also have an app, which you can get on your iPhone or your Android device. Go to your Google Play Store or your App Store. Search for Weather NorCal. It's a free app. You can access those weather updates on that app along with all kinds of other great information. I also have a 24-hour streaming channel, much like that of what we remember the days of the Weather Channel and the Weather on the 8s, but it's weather 24 hours a day locally for Northern California. And I've basically taken all of Northern California, split it up into six neighborhoods, and kind of split it up on that 24-hour channel so you can get more specific data, more specific information for each of the microclimates in our area. And, of course, it has other information on the 24-hour channel, such as the latest weather update that I've recorded, and on top of that, I've got special programming, Turtle Bay. I still do a segment with Sharon Clay, that is, from Turtle Bay, and we do a segment called Turtle Bay Wonderful World of Animals. I've got a financial segment on there, and I've got other plans for other types of segments on there as well. I plan on eventually doing more of a informational type services as well. I'm working with a local group, which will be announced later, to help get more community events out there as well. And that 24-hour channel, by the way, can be accessed on Roku and Amazon Fire Stick, and eventually will be coming to Apple TV as well. It's available on YouTube. Search for Weather NorCal, same concept. So that's essentially what I do in a nutshell. I'm everywhere digitally with the exception of you cannot find me on your TV antenna. That's basically it.
So, well, I don't think as many people watch TV anymore anyway. So, I mean.
And I too, am not a TV. You know, I've worked in TV my entire life, and quite honestly, I rarely, if ever, turned on the news.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but I just did my weather thing and stayed away from. And that's why I feel as though I'm in a position to do what I'm doing, because I've been able to kind of dodge the bullet, if you will, from all of the backlash that media is getting. It's you know, all these different bipartisan and all that kind of stuff. I'm non-political. That's Mike Krueger is non-political, and I always will be. Weather is not political. Weather is information to help get you out the door and get you out and get you prepared for the day and the week.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I don't talk to you about the current situation in wherever.
Well, no, hey, and I appreciate that. And if you could go on record by saying, if it rains or thunderstorms, it's not any politician's fault, right? So,
well, yeah, I mean, I would say that on record, it's not.
Yeah, I know.
It's no one's fault. It's,
no,
it's
I know.
Mother Nature.
I know. I'm just making light of the subject that if there could be blame placed, it always gets placed usually somewhere. Okay, hey, Mike,
oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you giving me all of Shasta County and our listeners and other places as well what they're missing out by not having you as their local just anchor of a meteorologist. So thank you for the work you do and have done for, I think, nearly 20 years now.
It's been 24-plus years.
24 years. And I won't tell people how many rackets you and I have broke between the two of us years ago playing tennis.
Oh, my goodness. How many? That was probably 20 years ago, right, that we played tennis?
Yeah.
And,
early 2000s.
Yes.
Early 2000s. Yes. The good.
I have a John. I mean, I'll go on record. I have a John McEnroe mentality.
Yeah. Well, when you have two people that aren't very good but are highly competitive, yeah,
yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Mike, you have a great rest of your weekend, and thanks for calling in.
You bet. Bye.
All right. All right. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take our first short break. When we come back, I'm going to give you the topics, but here's the thing I want to make sure you write down. Write down this number if you haven't called in before. It's 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. This past week, I've had a lot of people ask about what the show was going to be about. Of course, this past board meeting, we discussed the charter. We discussed raises for the Board of Supervisors, and there was an election item. So we're going to go back and predominantly talk about the charter and raises. And I want some of you to call in, because when you call me on either side of how you feel about either of those two issues, now's your opportunity. Like, I like this format better, because we can have the discussion. There's not a moderator, and you know, and I promise you, if you're respectful and you're articulate, I'm not gonna cut your mic, because that's what I want this to be. I want this to be an open conversation for some of these topics that we're gonna address over the next 45 minutes. So with that, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Ready for an adrenaline-packed showdown like no other at Wind River Resort and Casino as Primal Fighting Championships presents Fight Night. Saturday, November 11th, Fight Night will bring you the excitement of amateur, pro, and titled MMA fights. Tickets start at just $55 plus fees and includes $10 free slot play. Must be 21 to attend this extreme event. This action-packed night sells out fast. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
All right, we are back. Broadcasting live down here in District 1, Redding, California. American Flags, great song. And so we're going to jump in, and I'm going to play some clips from our special board meeting we had this last Tuesday. We had to have a special board meeting for the charter portion because there was some mistakes when the clerk of the board uploads all of the, basically the agenda and all the documentation to, I guess, whatever system we put that into. It didn't convert part of the charter R8 information. So we had to strip that out and then make that a special board meeting starting at 3. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an intro. This is, and it's only a 38-minute board meeting. So I'll tell you, if you want to just get a really clip, a really quick glimpse of watching, one solid or just one single agenda item in a meeting, and the people that come up and speak in public comment, just watch it. It's 38 minutes. There's no public comment. There's nothing but just board discussion up there. And I think it would be really telling for people that aren't politically engaged at all, just to watch that 38 minutes and watch, because I'm going to strip out a couple of the public comments that stuck out to me. But we're going to play this thing first. Chair Joan announces it and asks me if I'd like to say anything since I was the sponsor of it. So I'm going to play this clip for you.
And this one is sponsored by Supervisor Cry. Did you want to say anything, Supervisor Cry, before we open it up for public comment?
No. I mean, I think I would want to commend CEO Rickert and his staff. I know Stuart in the bullpen. Yes, sir. Worked very hard on this. I still think the language is a bit wordy, but I get it. It needs to be that for the spirit of the legalese that goes into it. But bottom line is this. Here as a supervisor, you've heard a few of them talk about local control, talk about giving it to the electors, talk about giving it to the people. I would assume this would be a 5-0 supported vote, because this is about giving you, the people of Shasta County, the vote as it relates to the single item. There is no other item in this, if you'll notice. There's many charters. Orange County's charter might be the closest to it, where everything is stripped out but one item. And any amendment going forward would be put to, yet again, the voters. So this is about you guys getting to decide, much like
the term limits. Okay, so what's being set up here is I'm just saying, hey, this is a single item charter to start with. And when I say to start with, what that means is anything that ever is amended, any referendum, any kind of anything, always has to go back to the voters. So it's really, really plain and simple. The charter is this, because currently, right now in the state of California, for the general law counties, if there is a vacancy on a board of supervisors, that means somebody retires, somebody resigns, somebody moves, somebody dies, somebody's recalled, somebody wins the lottery and just moves. Doesn't matter if there's a vacancy. Currently, our governor, in this case right now, it's Gavin Newsom, gets to appoint that, gets to fill that vacancy. And this charter, and keep in mind, this won't even go into effect until 2025. So January of next year, it's a year and a couple months away. But what that then does is it returns the power to the people of Shasta County to say, look, if there's a vacancy, then the Board of Supervisors, whatever remaining board is up there, they get to work together collaboratively to choose somebody or to appoint somebody until the next election. Or if they can't come to terms with a selection, then it goes to a special election. They get to vote. And we're seeing this play out at the Gateway School District right now. You had a person resign. There left a vacancy. The board was, I believe, always split 2-2. So then it goes to a special election, and this special election will take place this Tuesday. And that's what I think it should be. I think the people should be able to decide within their county what that is. So that's what this charter is, no more and no less. So then what we have, again, like in any meeting, you have public comment, and people get to come up, and they get to express why they like it, why they don't like it, etc. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip here from a lady. Her name is Dana. And so I want to play this because I think this is important for people to understand what goes on in these meetings and just how just so much misinformation is constantly put out there. So I'm going to pick this up at the 1306 mark, and we're going to listen here for about 40 seconds. So hold on 1 second. Here it comes.
Dovetails beautifully. You're talking about people having more power and more involvement. What a charter would also allow is for you to make the registrar an appointed position, which would rob the voters of the ability to repeat that 68% that they elected her with. So that feels to me like board control, but is that not true? Okay, fine. Tell me the truth then.
Okay, Dana, because I have to appeal to your education, everything else. The charter is simple. It is one thing. There is nothing about the ROV. There is nothing.
Kevin, I understand this.
So what she's saying is she understands this. And what's really interesting is she goes into a tirade about the ROV and gets really upset about it, about that we can do this or we can do that, and starts sensationalizing things, which is completely false. And this is what a lot of these individuals do, is they come up and they throw stuff out. It's kind of like when somebody says, when did you stop beating your wife? So what does a person normally do? They say, well, I haven't beat my wife. Well, but now you're having that discussion. So these individuals, and especially Dana, gets up there and starts talking about all the other things that this board majority or any board is going to start doing. And again, what gets hijacked in this message is this always goes to the voters, and there's nothing in there about the ROV. This is simply about the Board of Supervisors. And I'm not saying that I predicted the future or I'm not Nostradamus, but I will tell you, when I started looking into this very, very early in the year, and this even just predates, this predates any talk of a recall effort, but it was really always about local control. I ran on that local control. And what you saw with the governor appointing Feinstein's position, he looked at really 2/3 main things. He looked at race, gender, and sexuality. And then to boot, the person that was appointed lived in Maryland and has to come back to California. So this simple issue is all about not allowing the governor to appoint in Shasta County. But you see really quickly people start to try and hijack that conversation. So now we're going to go back earlier into this meeting because I wanted to we're going to go back to there's a speaker, Jeff Gorder, and Jeff Gorder is one of the main proponents for the recall. And, of course, he comes up. And now he's a former, or maybe he's still currently an attorney, I don't know. But he was the public defender for the county. And being somebody in the with a background in law, you would hope they would have their facts straight when they're citing things of the nature about law and what election codes and stuff like that is. So we're going to pick this up at 3:06, and we're going to play this.
That I was going to request be added to this, and that would be language that indicates that if a vacancy occurs as a result of a recall election, that the vacancy shall not be filled by the supervisor who was recalled. As you may recall, in past years, there was always an election of a successor during a recall. Now that no longer exists. When the law was that an election of a successor would occur, it was specified that the subject of the recall could not run as a successor. And so now we have a different situation. But the way this proposal reads is that if Mr. Cry were recalled, then the board could appoint him to fill the vacancy. Now, you might say, well, that would never happen. Well, strange things have happened. And so I think it's clear that language needs to be in there that indicates that if the vacancy occurs as a result of a recall election, that the vacancy shall not be filled by the supervisor who was recalled. Who can argue with that?
Okay. Now, I would agree. Like, who could argue with that? But this is the thing, right? This is public comment in the very, very beginning of this item. But now we're going to fast forward all the way to like 20 some minutes in. And what you're going to see is you're going to see actually the truth come out in this. Now, if somebody, you know, and again, when some people come up in public comment and they're just, you know, voicing whatever and they're kind of just going on a tirade or whatever, you take some of that with a grain of salt. But when you have somebody comes up who is educated, who has tried I don't know how many cases in his career, but you would suspect either that he has the mental faculties to be able to research this himself, or he's clearly just coming up making stuff up for the sheer grandiose to try and make something that it's not. So I don't know which it is. I don't know if there's just a level of incompetency or if the individual is just flat out trying to lie and mislead the public. But when we talk about something going to the voters, what's really important to me is that people have the facts. And if they don't want to support the charter, hey, like I will stand behind that and say the people have spoken. That's what they want, because I think that's what's most important. So now I'm going to go to 2327, and we're going to have a response from our county council, who, if you don't know, that's Gretchen Sturr. She's the interim county council at this point. So we're going to play this, and this is her response to that. And again, she doesn't respond immediately because she waits till public comment's over. So here you go.
section that specifically states that a person who is subject to a recall petition may not be appointed to fill the vacancy. It's under Election Code Section 11302, Subdivision B4.
And, Jeff, if you want her to write that down, she can write that down for you.
Okay, so Gretchen just says everything that he said is covered already in the election code. So he wants to add more to the ordinance or the resolution that we're putting forward that goes on the ballot. But yet the work has already been done. So, you know, and this is where I start to get a little frustrated because people at the very beginning of my time in office have said, you got to trust your staff, you got to trust your staff. And again, I've said this multiple times that I don't just trust people just because I'm told to trust them. I mean, I didn't hire any of these people. Well, that's not true. We hired CEO Rickert, and so we did have a say into that. But when you talk about all the deputy CEOs and the analysts and everybody else, I mean, trust is earned. It takes time. And I tend to start everybody at 100%, any relationship I have, and they just work their way down if they do things that are untrustworthy. So I've trusted the staff to write this charter almost in its entirety. So this is how it wrapped up after all. And there was other public comments like that, but I wanted to point those two out because I think they're very relevant. They're very relevant to what you're going to see the next few months. And you're going to see the opposition. And when I say the opposition, I'm not talking about a recall opposition. I'm talking about an opposition of people that really, really love the way our state's going right now. Meaning they love the left-leaning liberal policies that are just completely decimating the state and causing many, many tens of thousands of businesses and families to move out of California who have been lifelong Californians. And what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of those individuals really trying to attack this charter, and they're going to try and make things up about what it's not. Because what this solely is, again, I'll go right back to it, it's very, very simple, and any amendment or referendum that's ever changed has to go back to the voters. So just really keep an eye on what people are coming out and attacking the charter, because you better believe they have very ulterior motives, and it's probably because they love our governor and they love the direction the state is currently going. So with that, we're going to take our and if there's any callers, again, 530-605-4567. We're going to tackle the raises when we come back in that whole discussion. And one of the things I'll tell you about this is I believe going forward, and again, if I'm ever chair someday, I want to see if we can't do something or change maybe the board policy where if a supervisor wants something on there, they don't get to hide behind the county CEO. They have to sponsor it and put it on themselves. I mean, you can always bring it to a chair, but I'll just tell you, if I'm ever chair and you want something brought forward as a supervisor, if you're not willing to put your name on it, I'm not putting it on there. But I'll tell you, if a supervisor wanted to put something on there, hey, I won't knock it down because I think it's a supervisor's elected right to bring something forward. So they've got to be a person with transparency and integrity and put it on there themselves, and it needs to say sponsored by supervisor such and such. With that, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Make sure you call in if you have some questions or thoughts, 605-4567.
And now the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Get ready for an adrenaline-packed showdown like no other at Wind River Resort and Casino as Primal Fighting Championships presents Fight Night. Saturday, November 11th, Fight Night will bring you the excitement of amateur, pro, and titled MMA fights. Tickets start at just $55 plus fees and include $10 free slot play. Must be 21 to attend this extreme event. This action-packed night sells out fast. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble. If it came along, everyone that knew him knew which life that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say you've
all right, we are back. Got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. We had a couple callers come in, so we're going to be discussing raises. If you want to call in, 530-605-4567. This was the agenda item on our last meeting. We had a supervisor in incognito basically bring it forward. Tim Garmin did in a roundabout way say he kind of sort of in some inadvertent way might have stumbled into the conversation of raises, but we do know that he brought it to Dave Rickert, and then he brought it to Chair Jones. And again, he says in the era of transparency that he did have some conversations. Well, we all know that that's just a complete fabrication. He wanted it on there, which again, I think it's a good discussion. I was very against it. I came out with a press release and a statement about it because I knew it would just be used as a political football. And anyway, so we're going to go to our first caller. Katie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Katie. What question do you have, or what topic do you want to tackle as far as it relates to raises in this last board meeting?
Yeah, as far as the raises go, I really feel like the current salary of the Board of Supervisors is extremely low, and I think that it is definitely necessary. Given the, you know, the way the community reacted to bringing up of raises, I think that the board should look into making it to where they don't vote on their own raises. First of all, I don't think that's right in the first place, but we do need to make sure that we are compensating our Board of Supervisors in such a way that, you know, attracts people that are not only, you know, independently rich or retired or something like that. So that's a concern of mine. I don't know how to move it forward, but given that they haven't gotten a raise in I don't even know how long, it seems ridiculous to me. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, everybody has been, you know, hitting you guys so hard about not being fiscally responsible and all this, that, and the other, and especially leading up to this when they thought that you guys had brought it up. I want to just remind everybody that Chair Jones doesn't take the retirement. He has saved the city and the county up to $50,000. You know, and that is such a low number because that's also going – he's only around 50 years old. So we're talking about for the rest of his life, he is saving insane amount of money for the county. So I'd like everybody to know that and, you know, just take a minute whether you agree with him or not, but appreciate him for that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I actually pointed that out during the supervisor meeting that when Chair Jones had mentioned he doesn't take the medical, doesn't take the PERS retirement, and, you know, one side of the room was clapping and then the other side of the room just stared. And I was really bothered by the fact that people can't even celebrate something positive. And that just shows you the political divide and how viscerally people's judgment is just clouded because they're not able to even celebrate something positive like that. You know, I brought that up. And I think, you know, when it goes to the supervisors, I know in 2002 was their last raise, but I believe – and I don't remember what the exact year was. I did call Supervisor Baugh. I called him. I don't know. I want to say maybe it was Monday, and I had asked him how many times this issue had come up in his time in office. I believe he did four terms, And he actually said in the whole entire time he was there, they actually had they took a pay cut. I believe it was in 08 or 09. And I agree with you, Katie. Like I think there should be a cost of living built in.
I want to correct what I said too. It was $500,000, not $50,000.
Okay. Yes.
That he has saved us, and you know it's going to be so ridiculously high for the course of his life, and he's doing that for the taxpayers because you know it being an in a family business like he is. I doubt he has all of that stuff given to him, you know.
Oh, there's no way. There's
no way.
Yeah, I haven't.
A small family business, you don't get that stuff.
Well,
so that's a huge sacrifice.
Not just a small family business, but you're talking about firearms in the state of California. So, it's, yeah. It's
a very
not,
hard business to live in.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And so the thing that bothers me, I think, most about this whole thing was just, one, how it was brought forward. It felt very seedy to me. And I know that we have had a couple other callers in. So is there anything else, Katie, that you wanted to?
There's one more thing. I was able to go to that night meeting, and I'm so thankful for you guys having that night meeting. But as I was sitting there, I was shocked by the people that were so bold to go up there and give their public comment. And I'm glad that you're pointing out the stuff that they're saying that is so ridiculously wrong and blatant lies. And it seems like it's coming from a place of authority because they're so bold to get up there and do it during public comment. So keep doing that. I appreciate that because that was quite shocking to me.
Yeah.
The stuff these people are doing. And keep doing what you're doing, Kevin. We support you. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Thank you. And so the thing with the way it was brought forward, what really bothers me is, and I've talked to Nolda Short, who I think is, we have a lot of amazing people in our county, that work for the county, of course that live within the county, but I'm talking about people that work for the county. And Nolda, I mean, it's kind of like what Mike Krueger was saying earlier about weather. Weather doesn't care about politics. Well, numbers don't really care about politics. Numbers are what they are. And Nolda and I were talking quite a bit just about how this could be done really well in terms of salary studies, and this would go across all departments in the county to see if we're really actually in line with where we should be. And the fact that our staff wasn't given that opportunity and this was thrust upon them at such a it's just such a shotgun approach. So what you'll see is you see the charter. I mean, I'll tell you, if you have a couple hours, watch the Charter County 38-minute special board meeting and watch the whole segment with the raises. Supervisor Garmon, and again, this isn't about just piling it on any one in particular person, but I got to tell you, like I, as a coach, go back and watch game film. I watched game film. It didn't matter if I was coaching sixth graders or I coach in college. You watch game film. So when I watch this, the argument for not supporting the charter by Supervisor Garmon and Ricker was because they wanted to have committees and they wanted to have all this public input and they wanted to have this big process. But then when the raises come forward, and again, this wasn't Supervisor Ricker, it was Garmon, he just throws the staff into the situation where they've got to hustle up. And within, I don't know how long they had it on their plate, but it couldn't have been very long because I didn't want to press Monica or Dave Rickard or anybody else, because it puts them in a really bad situation to have to say, yeah, this was super unfair. They put this on us, and we had a little bit of time to put it together, and then we put it out there. Because that doesn't – I mean, they don't want to do that, and I respect that, so I wouldn't even ask them that question. But they should have had – you know, this is something that should take 3, 6, maybe even 9 months to really, really do it well. And if you do it well once, then you don't ever have to do it again. Again, I really feel – this was a political move. To this day, I don't know ultimately for sure because I haven't had those conversations with Tim or Patrick or Dave in depth. Because I'd want to sit down and all of us just I'd want to get to the bottom of it as an elected official, but even just as a citizen, I want to know who's up there politicking and doing things that are just not not doing things on the up and up and on the out. On the outside. So the last thing I'll say about the raises again is I think it's important that our frontline workers at the county are paid a fair and a wage that we can afford, where we don't have unfunded liabilities just piling up. The other caller had dropped off. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Shasta County Chamber. And the Shasta County Chamber is growing like – it's just like spreading like wildfire. You know, if they're not out in Shasta Lake, they're up in Shingletown, or they're out on the outskirts of Cottonwood, almost into Red Bluff. It's growing rapidly, and we have one of the three main people behind it, Nigel Skeet, who's here in studio. So we're going to take our last break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the Shasta County Chamber, how it's growing, and how you as a business or individual can get involved. So with that, we'll be right back. Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least three realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Get ready for an adrenaline-packed showdown like no other at Wind River Resort and Casino as Primal Fighting Championships presents Fight Night. Saturday, November 11th, Fight Night will bring you the excitement of amateur, pro, and titled MMA fights. Tickets start at just $55 plus fees and includes $10 free slot play. Must be 21 to attend this extreme event. This action-packed night sells out fast. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
All right. We are back in studio. Nigel Skeet with the Shasta County Chamber is joining me. That is good music. And then is your mic on? Is it turned up?
Is it on?
There you are now.
Plugged in.
He was commenting what great music it is. And it is. Dee Snider, Twisted Sister. You probably photographed him at some point.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'd fangirl over that. Those 80
I'll
bands.
You.
Yeah, those 80s bands, man. That's where it is. Def Leppard. Now, you hung out with them. I don't know them, but boy, I sure loved watching their videos in the 80s. Okay, so we're talking Shasta County Chamber. Give us an update, where that is, how it's growing, and what's going on.
So the backstory to this is, I've been here 14 years and, love this community. Was always impressed with our, with our surroundings. And, as I traveled across the region from Humboldt and Siskiyou and Trinity, it's just amazing how beautiful it is, right? And there's lots of stuff to do here. And so then I started getting into the tourism piece and the marketing piece, and started working with Humboldt County, Trinity County, Siskiyou County, right, to try and help elevate our entire region. Come to find out that of all the counties in Northern California, there's only one county not engaged, and that was Shasta County, right?
And when did you determine this, or when did you realize that?
Well, it wasn't like a bubble. It was because I've been in front of the Board of Supervisors yes. two or three times before you were there.
Correct.
And I felt like I was, I mean, it was well received, but I felt like I was talking to a vacuum because Shasta County was not engaged. And so finally, City of Reading is, and they've done a great job for the City of Reading. But then finally, when I asked, why is Shasta County not engaged? And after about a year and a half, there was a few people who said, well, why don't you do it? So in order for our region to grow its tourism dollars and grow its economic development, I believe Shasta County needs to be engaged along with the other counties in our region. So it took a little while, but with a partnership with James from Enjoy Magazine, Enjoy the Store, we decided to just go ahead and give it a shot and see what would happen. So we started the Shasta County Chamber, and very quickly developed a great partnership with Jason from Reading Buzz. So here we have three guys who are totally we're over ourselves. And, you know, I hate social media. Jason is a king of social media, so we just work together, right?
Reading Buzz is amazing.
Reading Buzz is amazing. And, you know, we need a magazine. I don't want to do a magazine. James is good at a magazine. So it's been a great partnership. And we didn't know how it was going to go, but it's been amazing. We're up to 50 members now in a short amount of time. And what we tend to forget is that in Reading, and I love Reading, this is an amazing place, but we are in our own little Reading bubble. And I remember first moving here, people would complain that it took 15 minutes to get from one side to the other in Reading, right? So even now when somebody says, hey, you want to meet? And it's like, oh, that's 12 minutes away. That's way
too far. I live out by, you know, if a person says, I live out by Mary Lake, and someone off of Lake Boulevard says, oh, geez.
But we forget that Shasta County is 3,800 square miles.
It's big.
Okay? And to go from one corner to the other is a solid 2.5 hours, right? So we thought we'd give it a shot and see what would happen. And it's been amazing. We've actually met really good people from all over the county. One of the last members that just signed up is Little Will's Restaurant in Shingletown. And so we're going to have our next county chamber meeting at Little Will's Restaurant in Shingletown.
Yeah, now, how far is – because I remember I asked you this earlier this week when we talked about the show. How far from, like, let's say the mall, from my ninja gym, how far is it to get from the mall to Little Will's Restaurant?
20 minutes on the nose.
20 minutes. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, realistically. And it's actually a pretty drive.
It's a great drive. It's a great little drive. And the Shingletown is one of those great little communities, I think, that we as locals tend to forget about. I know there's some people who go up there summer regularly, but we tend to, you know, either drive through it on our way to Reno or something on our way to Lassen.
And the gentleman that purchased it or is building that is from
Peter Stone.
Okay, and he's from out of the area, correct?
He's one of those examples where he came from out of state. I think he came from Washington State. I'm not quite sure how many years ago, but he's poured a lot of money into Little Will's Restaurant and into the community because he loves it here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I do want people to hear in that message is businesses are still coming here to Shasta County. I mean,
leaders, I think our region is going to grow.
I think our region is on the cusp of just exploding, you know, just exploding with when I say the right people, I'm just talking about people that love what Shasta County, I believe, truly, truly stands for, which is people that are patriotic, that aren't afraid of saying, hey, I love America. America's a great place. Just like families, there are some outliers. There are some things broken about it. But Shasta County is a great place to raise a family and have a business. And are you finding that with the chambers? How many people?
Absolutely.
And
we are setting – we want to be – we want to set the example of working together.
Yeah.
Right? So along those lines, you know, we joined the Palisadro Chamber. They joined us. We joined the Anderson Chamber. They joined us, right? And so as we expand and we get to meet all these people, it's amazing how many people actually do love this community and love this county. There's a lot.
Yeah. Now, do you feel or do you find as you've worked with other counties as it relates to tourism – I know you have. I've heard you say this before, but the region that makes up the northern region, the 13 most northern counties, what piece of the pie do they get in relation to the rest of the state? region-wise as far as tourism dollars?
So our region, meaning from the coast, so our two regions, Cascade, Wonderland, and North Coast, combined we get 2%.
2%.
2% of the California total of travel-related spending coming in. And there's various reasons for that. But it's combined, it's 2%.
Wow.
Right? Well, yeah, and our region is at 1%, which is fine. But I do think one of the reasons for that is because Shasta County as a county has not been engaged. And the brand Shasta is a little diluted because when you Google Shasta, you get Mount Shasta, you get Shasta Lake, you get Old Shasta, you know.
Yeah.
There's various forms of Shasta except Shasta County. So Shasta County has kind of been, hasn't been in charge of its own brand. And so we would like to.
Let me ask you this, and see if you can answer this like in 30 seconds. What, fast forward 5 years from now, what is the Shasta, what does the Shasta County Chamber look like? Like blue sky, if it's at its best, in 5 years, what does it look like?
Well, I have tunnel vision, so I have complete tunnel vision, and that's to get our region from 2% to like, well, we could be rebellious and go for 5%.
Yeah.
Right? And we can't do that without Shasta County. Yeah. So Shasta County has to lead our entire region because we are on I-5 and we have the airport and,
So when we talk about generating money, because obviously counties, you're not selling a product, it's services. So if we raise the tax base because of new business, or we actually get more money in because of occupancy tax and all of those things that come with great travel numbers, I mean, there are the raises for the employees. There is the jail. There is the navigation center that is able to facilitate hundreds or thousands of people that need that help. I mean, I do. I believe wholeheartedly.
So I'll take on this one criticism that people have. Well, we don't want more people coming here. So the thing about the tourism is that we have a certain number of tourists coming in, right, through the summer or whatever it is. If that was just continuous, right? So not even increasing, instead of having an on season and an off season, if we just had a steady stream of the same number of tourists coming throughout the year, that alone would make a huge difference.
Oh yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, and I think that's why I'm excited. That's why when this came forward, I was very supportive, and I think it's probably one of the few issues that all the supervisors agreed on was getting behind and getting engaged. I know Supervisors Rickert and Chair Jones have been there, have heard you speak in the past. I'm not sure if Supervisor Garmon has heard anything other than the one that Supervisor Kellstrom and I heard as well. But I know we're all for backing businesses and making it where people can feed their families, and we raise the tax base, and then we get more money for the project.
I've got to tell you, so far, all the members, all the people who have joined, all the businesses who are members are amazing. I've met some amazing people, and I'm very happy we did this.
Yeah, no, I'm happy because that's one of the things, too, is supporting small business. I mean, I'm a small business owner, and I think we have to collaborate and work together as best as we can. So we did have a Christina, is there still a caller there? I know someone called in, and we jumped into the chamber. So I know we don't have much time left. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin. It seems like most of the division that's really hit the forefront is over the Dominion voting machine, and that kind of brought everything to the head. And I was wondering if anybody has thought of this as a possible solution on the election, where everyone says it's going to take so long to do the hand count because of how cumbersome the California ballot is. Why not have a two-page ballot? Anybody you vote for as an elected positions on one page, all your propositions and measures are on a second page. Those you vote for as individuals goes to a hand count. All the propositions goes to the machine count.
I mean, that's actually a really, I like that. I'll tell you that there's it had been floated once about separating county and state or federal races as well. I'll tell you what, what was your name, sir?
My name is Chris.
Chris, if you'd like, shoot me an email, or actually just stay on the line, and then I'll grab your number. I'd like to discuss a little bit more some of those ideas. I know we have, on our upcoming agenda, we're going to be talking about the Citizen Advisory Committee. It looks like the language is going to be changed. But again, I mean, I think just collaboratively, we can do a lot of this stuff a lot better. And I think just bringing ideas forth, even like that one, like, you know, I always ask the questions. I say why or why not. I try and answer it both ways. So I think that's a great idea. I know there's probably a lot of things, obviously, that go into that. But I think what everybody wants at the end of the day is just to know that their vote counts.
Correct.
And everybody knows that, you know, one person, one vote, and we're not having, you know, 60 ballots sent to a post office box. And we know that that happens, you know, and it happens across the country. It's not, I mean, it's proven. People can say that it doesn't. But at the end of the day, I want to wrap this up on a positive.